You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 90 years ago this day brought the worst mining accident in Michigan's history. The Barnes-Hecker mine disaster on November 3, 1926, killed 51 miners. The disaster rocked the community west of Ishpeming. Mary Tippett's grandfather was killed in the disaster. It was his first day on the job. This anniversary week, Mary Tippett is working to make sure that the legacy of the miners and their families isn't forgotten. She's one of the organizers of the 90th anniversary Barnes-Hecker Remembrance, and she is with us now. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you so much for inviting me to participate in the program, Cynthia. I really appreciate it.
Mary, tell us exactly what happened on this day 90 years ago.
The morning began routinely with the day shift starting at 7:30. And the routine typically involved drilling and setting dynamite charges that would be detonated around 11:20 or 11:30 in the morning immediately prior to the lunch hour. What happened on November 3rd, 90 years ago, was that at 11:20, blasting was heard underground, and suddenly there was a big rush of air, which to an underground miner is an indicator that something is amiss. There was rumbling and another rush of air, and the power went out. The men who were on the second level recognized that something was terribly wrong, and they ran to the shaft. Actually, they groped their way to the shaft in the dark and headed for a ladder to the surface. They also hailed a co-worker on the first level. So altogether, there were four men climbing a ladder for their lives, knowing that the mine was flooding. The water was coming up to the feet of the one man who escaped, and that one man was Rutherford Wills, my half-great uncle, brother to Walter Tippett.
Your grandfather. And it was his first day on the job?
Yes, my grandfather had been the night captain of the Marquette Police Force and had worked at the prison in Marquette and had a couple of close calls, and specifically in which gunfire was exchanged, and Walter was the officer who had shot and killed a criminal. And he had a difficult time with that and was concerned for his own safety and for the future of his family. So he convinced his brother William, the mine captain, to give him a job at the Barnes-Hecker mine where he would be safer.
And I know that this Barnes-Hecker disaster, the third worst non-coal mining disaster in the entire country. How was the community affected that day in 1926?
The day was one of disbelief and shock and horror. The mine whistle started to shriek when it was known that there was something radically wrong. Ripples of shock went through the community. Families gathered at the mine in the hope that their men would be rescued. Reporters started to converge on the area. Curiosity seekers did. And the mine site was then ultimately closed except only to family members. There was an outpouring of support for the families. One wonderful example was from the time that the Mining Journal's Extra hit the street at around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, the telephone switchboard lit up and went crazy. And the switchboard operators, the telephone company called in extra switchboard operators, and those were the days when they individually plugged in the connections. And the operators said, "I'm sorry, the line is busy. Let me call you back when that line is free." And those operators worked for 2.5 hours straight through their dinner hour to make sure that every single family connection was made. There was an outpouring of support for providing cars for the funerals, providing food and whatever the families might need. And the sympathy and the attendance at the funerals was community-wide. And at that time, the population of Marquette County was 45,000 people, and Ishpeming was the largest city. So at one funeral, the attendance overflowed into the street, and it was estimated to be about 700 to 1,000 people who tried to attend that service.
You get goosebumps as you describe that. I absolutely can feel what that was like. And this network of people and family and community members still honoring the men today is very strong. You've been busy all week with remembrances. Tell us some of what you're doing.
We have had an amazing response to the events that we've held so far. They began in mid-October with a lecture by my co-chair, Jim Paquette, who is a local historian, president of the Marquette Regional History Center Board, and an experienced safety expert in mining. The outpouring at his talk was unbelievable. People were in tears listening to it. they were approaching the planning group and thanking us for what we were doing. The events will continue actually this evening with the ecumenical memorial service. And as far as we're aware, it'll be the first time since maybe 1927 when there's been a community-wide church service dedicated exclusively to remembering these men.
And I'm very interested in, and I think it's a powerful statement of what you're going to be doing this Saturday night at the Cliffs Shaft Mine Museum. Tell us about that closing event.
We are very excited about being able to give the descendants and families something that they have never had before. And specifically that is that we have all of the names of the women, all of the names of the wives of the miners. And when the men's names are read, as they will be this evening at the worship service, the men's names will be read along with their wives' names. And it'll be the very first time ever that the names of the husbands and wives have been given, read, presented aloud anywhere at any time in history.
And I know you're holding it in the unheated dry room?
That's correct. We've expanded the space a little bit more. There's an adjacent room called the Rock Room that the local rock club uses from the museum. That room is heated. It has chairs. It has a microphone. And there'll be refreshments. So people will be able to spend time in the unheated dry to remind all of us that those families stood in the cold on November 3rd in 1926, waiting for word with snow on the ground and wind in the air. And this way we can recreate some of that feeling while still providing a comfortable environment for families to gather, enjoy some refreshments, be able to visit with one another and connect.
Mary, how has what happened to your grandfather, his story, how has that impacted your life?
It has given my life a very strong awareness of the necessity of sharing one's family history. My family was very lucky because we lived on the same block with my grandmother. And the Barnes-Hecker story was one that we have known about since we were small children. At the same time, there was an awareness of my father, who really did not talk much about how different his life might have been if he had had his father. What he and my grandmother did was be thankful for what they had and built a legacy that is focused on solving problems, moving forward, preparing your kids for unexpected consequences, learning how to sew on a button, learning how to hammer and nail and saw. And it was something that we felt was part of our DNA, I guess, is the best way to describe it. The remembrances that we did, including going to the caved-in area where a lake had formed, we would go there in the summertime when we were children and lay flowers on the water. And we don't forget the symbolism and the importance of all of that. And it wasn't until I had reached my retirement years that I really had time to thoroughly read everything that was involved and start to see the human impact of what this meant. And I'm so grateful for what my grandmother did, how she conducted her life, which was with gratitude and with joy. And yes, with a few curse words here and there, she was a very lovely, wonderful, warm, normal woman. They taught us survivorship and gratitude, and that's really a gift that is beyond any price tag you can apply.
Mary Tippett is the co-chair of the Barnes-Hecker Remembrance Committee, marking today the 90th anniversary of the Barnes-Hecker mine disaster that claimed 51 miners' lives, including her grandfather. Mary, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation very much.